Despite outrage from his victims and the public, Moore managed to keep the site running for 2 years. He seemed invincible, but then he crossed Charlotte Laws. She wrote the story in Jezebel that Bob mentioned earlier, a long and gripping account of how Laws finally brought Moore down. But her efforts were rewarded with aggressive retaliation.
I had people say they would kill me. I had 3 actual death threats. I had other people say things like, I will ruin your life. We know where you live. I got viruses bombarded onto my computer. I had this guy in a white car sitting outside of my house for 2 days. It was really quite scary.
Tell me how you first were introduced to him.
Well, my daughter had taken photos of herself in her room with her cell phone in the mirror back in October of 2011. One of them had been topless. She didn't intend to show the photo to anyone, but she sent them from her cell phone to her email and then to her computer. She was hacked, and the topless photo ended up on the website doesanyoneup.com.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't understand how it could have happened. She was in tears. She was completely freaked out. And that's when I first learned about revenge porn.
And you asked Moore to take the photo down. He refused. Just to summarize some of what you did, you got in touch with Moore's publicist, with his attorney, hosting company, his internet service provider in France. You went to the LAPD. You filed a report with the FBI, and you had to wait a month for them to come and meet with you.
By the time they got there, I had a 12-inch thick file.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a private investigator in the 1980s, and so I had really put Hunter Moore and the website under investigation and found many, many people who had been hacked by the same person as my daughter, who went by the fake name Gary Jones. Now, all of a sudden, the FBI had all these victims, and apparently Gary Jones had been hacking into thousands of emails, not hundreds, thousands, and it was completely random.
You spoke to a random sample of women who had been posted on the site over a 2-week period, and you say that fewer than half, only 36%, actually were victims of revenge porn, as we understand it, insofar as that an ex was taking revenge. 40% had been hacked, like your daughter, and 12% were actually photoshopped. The people's heads were being superimposed on other bodies. It wasn't even them, and yet they would be suffering the consequences, right?
That's absolutely correct. Over 50% had either been hacked or had been photoshopped.
Now, you wanted to post Hunter's actual address. The FBI told you not to do that. But ultimately, the FBI did raid Moore's house, which I guess was his mother's house, broke the door down, and what then?
I had wanted to put his real address on the internet because so many people had wanted to serve him legal papers and they didn't know how to find him. But they said, we'd really rather you wait. We don't want him to be alerted to this investigation. But in November of 2012, and this is after he'd already taken the site down, he said he was going to put the site back up. By that time, it didn't matter because the FBI had already raided his house anyway. And so I was scared, but I put his home address on the internet. And that's when everything really went ballistic.
And during this particularly scary period, a mystery man emerged.
On my Twitter feed, I got a tweet from someone who said, please follow me, I need to direct message you. So I did, and this individual identified himself as being with the underground group Anonymous and said he needed to phone me. He told me how to protect my computer network, and they did go after Hunter Moore. They crashed his servers. They doxed him, which means they put his personal information online, including a social security number. And it seemed to really work because Hunter Moore became very, very quiet.
What ultimately stopped him was harassment from that secret group of online vigilantes called Anonymous and the FBI. But it wasn't the legal system. It seemed that there weren't sufficient legal protections against a guy like Moore. Where does that stand now?
We have passed a law in California as of October 1st. It's not a perfect law, but we are going to be bringing forth an amendment on December 17th, and we are hoping that it will protect 100% of the victims out there in the state of California. Currently, the only other state that has legislation in place is New Jersey, which is a much more comprehensive law. But what's really good about the California law is that it has spurred on so many other states. There have been proposals in New York and Wisconsin and Maryland and Kansas. Victims should have to give consent in order for their nude or topless picture to be online. That is the goal. The New Jersey law says that. The California law is flawed currently because it only protects a victim if someone else takes the picture of them.
So if you take a picture of yourself, like your daughter did, with no intention of distributing it, if that stuff is hacked and posted, you have no legal protection?
Well, if you're hacked, you do, because hacking is already against the law. That's the reason why the FBI took the case, is because of the hacking, not because of the revenge porn. So if my daughter had sent her a picture to someone and someone had posted it, the FBI wouldn't have taken the case.
So how's Kayla? I mean, all this work that you've done may have actually drawn more attention to that one exposed breast she never meant to show the world.
Yeah, she's fine now that the photo is off the internet. She understands how important the issue is. The only thing that concerns her is some of her male friends have said, oh, I saved your picture. I have it on my computer. And so she has to maintain a Google alert on her name, probably for the rest of her life, to see if that photo pops up again.
Ugh. Charlotte, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Charlotte Law's account of her battle with Hunter Moore originally was published on XO Jane.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Abdurrahman, Chris Neary, and Krista Ripple. We had more help from Kimmy Regler. And the show was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Andrew Dunn.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Jim Schachter is WNYC's vice president for news. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.